Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
With David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7, we are near the end of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has just come off a 23-year campaign sponsored by God to try to turn these people around. Just a little bit of obedience. At certain points, he was reducing the law down to nothing. Said, okay, just pick one Sabbath and don't do anything laborious. Don't bring anything through the gates laborious. I mean, do whatever you want. Just show me that you just get a little bit of fear of my statutes, but they couldn't do it. God had made it so easy for them to turn this punishment around and not have it inflicted on them. He said, okay, you know, I've sent Jeremiah to tell you, you're going to carry you away into Babylon, but just, you know what, just make yourselves a province of Babylon, and I will make sure that Babylon leaves you in your homes. But you've been bad children, and I have to bring some punishment on you, but as I have done in the past, I think about wiping you out, and then I repent of it. I mean, God in His grace was trying so hard just to, and if you're a father with children, you know about that. You get so angry. They've disobeyed you. You think about, oh, I'm going to spank the tar out of them. And then later on, you think, well, maybe I'll just ground them for a week and take their Xbox away. You know, God was just reducing the punishment if they would just show Him a little bit of obedience. And after 23 years, that's a long grace period. 23 years He tried to turn them around. And they did not, and they would not. So, they've been carried away into Babylon. Babylon has set up a governor, and some of the people were left. The poor people were left. And we're going to see what happens now. Things are going to... Nobody's ever satisfied with anything, even if God arranges it. So we're in chapter 41, book of Jeremiah. It came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. So they weren't happy with the new governor. So they took him out. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. So he's kind of, he sees the power vacuum. King of Israel and Judah had been carried away. All the important people had been carried away. Kind of trying to take over a little bit. Kills the governor. This is probably not going to make old Nebuchadnezzar very happy. Came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, there came certain from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men having their beards shaven and their clothes rent and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Now there's something a little off about that, what we just read. I mean, I'm just going to read it one more time. There came certain from Shechem to Shiloh and from Samaria, even 80. We got 80 men having their beards shaven. That's a sign of disgrace. That's a humbling. That's part of the Jewish disgrace and humbling effects. No Jew ever wanted to shave their beard. It was like disgraceful.
Complete reset.
Yes.
Of anything yeah. righteous you've ever done.
In fact, at times, other nations would catch Jews and soldiers and shave their beards and send them home. Mm-hmm. It's like, worse than death. No, don't send me home with my beard shaven off.
All right.
Walking through the city naked.
Yeah.
It does feel funny. I keep a beard.
Because they're supposed to... All right, so, I mean, the lore behind it is they keep the beard grows as long as it's growing, all right? They keep it as long as they keep doing mitzvahs or good things, all right? So they keep it for as long as that until they break something, like, in an unholy way. And whenever they do that, they're supposed to shave and reset.
Reset.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, that's why it's a big deal.
Big deal, yeah. Okay, so that's fine. And their clothes rent. So they've got their clothes ripped. That's a sign of humbling oneself before God. But they also, having cut themselves, that is a Baal.
Yes.
Worship phenomenon that they do. I mean, God never, ever said cut yourself. Like when Elijah went up against the 400 priests of Baal, they're out there cutting themselves all afternoon.
That's what
they must have been flayed after hours of cutting themselves and not getting any answer from their god Baal. So these guys, they've cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Their religion has morphed into something God does not even recognize. He gave the law. First, he gave the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Gave it to Abraham, said, and I give you an everlasting covenant. Everlasting means it will never end. Then he gave the law out of punishment because the children later on down the line of Abraham could not do that. They could not, you know, absolute freedom. I've heard this term. Absolute freedom corrupts absolutely. And it did for the nation of Israel. The freedom of God's covenant could not be contained within their hearts. They could not follow God with all their heart. God said, you follow me with all your heart, you will know what's right and wrong. But they couldn't do it. So he laid the law on them as a punishment. That's also an everlasting covenant. So at this point, they have forgotten the law. Over and over in the book of Kings and Chronicles, you'll see where kings knew the law, and then generations, a couple generations later, they had totally forgotten it. And then one time they even found the old book of the law, and the king says, oh my gosh, I've heard about this book. Let's read it and find out what's in there.
Hold up a table leg.
Yes.
Or even another table.
Yeah. Come to find out, Baal objects were not even supposed to be in the temple. Wow. So he tried to clean the place up, but we are now so far from the love of God, the state of Israel is. They don't even know the law anymore. They've mixed it with Baal and every other thing. Kind of like Christianity in the 3rd century when Constantine invited it in to be the state government. Anytime the state mixes with religion, it turns out poorly, you know? Romans had so many gods. Mm-hmm. But the emperor has just proclaimed Christianity will be the official religion of the empire.
Alongside the rest of them.
Yeah, well, the
incorporation,
there you go.
Right.
Well, we kind of like this Christianity thing, but we like that Yuletide festival too.
Yep.
What do we do, Jonathan?
Well, we can't get these people angry or upset, so we can't do a complete switch.
And that Yuletide, festival is cool. Let's say that Christ was born on that day.
That's it.
We can still have our festival. Yes, this is going to work. I can see this working.
Yeah. Absolutely. Deck the halls.
But that was a festival date.
Yes.
And the emperor said, okay, new religion's coming in, so all these old religions got to go.
Yeah.
So we're just going to rename it.
Yep.
Christ's birthday, December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then still got songs playing in America about the Yuletide Festival.
Yes, and that shouldn't even be in children's ears.
No.
Like, just that term, the terminology, and then, you know, it's softened to us now, don't get me wrong, you know, the centuries of time.
Oh, no,
but
yeah. I mean, I sung that song myself for years.
Same here.
having no idea. Figured it's something to do with Christ's birthday.
Yes.
Oh, it's so corrupt and horrible that it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like sheep, just follow along. But that's what they've done here. The law has been mixed with Baal. Can't tell the difference now. That's how religion works, Christian. Religion is a thing that makes you feel holy about yourself. Makes you feel like you're actually serving God, going through a process. But wait a minute. The law didn't allow for any of the debauchery and the pagan orgies and things that the flesh really wanted.
Right.
So over the years, we kind of just brought that in. Now the law in Israel has the Baal pageantry in it, the naked orgies, all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
The high places, the Baal amusement park on Mount Hermon over there. It's, and you got to be careful, Christian, because your religion's done the same thing. God wants a spiritual relationship with you. He doesn't like religion. God hates religion. Said it again. They haven't burned the studio down yet.
Nope.
Although if that data center gets built in Colton County, I'm sure they'll burn that down.
I'm sure.
The peasants are on the march.
I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Verse 6. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. It came to pass as he met them, he said unto them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And it was so, when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them, and cast them in the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. They're just on a killing frenzy. I think to make sure their murder of the governor is not found out, these 80 men, kill them, throw them in the pit too. When you do something bad, Christian, tell a lie, sin, you find yourself sinning more to cover that sin. Betwixt sin. This one here is mounting up.
Oh, yeah.
But 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley and of oil and of honey. So he forbare and slew them not among their brethren. Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah, which it was Asa the king had made for fear of Baash, a king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with them that were slain. Then Ishmael carried away captives all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam. And Ishmael the son of Nethaniah carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Amorites. So he's taking himself a big spoil. And God kept his word. He told the Israelis, the Hebrews, you know, you have to be punished. You have years and years of abuse and disobedience. You have to be punished. But I tell you what, my mercy is great. Just go with the Babylonians and I'll make it good for you. You'll go and one day I'll bring you back. And I will make sure they treat you well. And those of you who fight with the sword to stop my punishment, and Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God, it says so right here in this Bible, fighting against God is insanity. Those of you who fight against my punishment are going to die here. This fellow here, taking advantage, and you see he's quite evil. But when Jehoiachin, the son of Karna, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done. And they took all the men that went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Jehoiachin, the son of Kerath, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. while the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went unto Jehohanan, the son of Kerna. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Jehohanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Then took Jehohanan, the son of Kareth, and all the captains with the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah. After that, he went slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs, whom he had brought again from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to the enter into Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. Chaos in the land after they're carried into captivity in Babylon. Chapter 42. Then all the captains of the forces of Jehohanan, the son of Korah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hosea, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, said unto Jeremiah the prophet. Remember, Jeremiah had his choice. Captain told him, you can come to me with Babylon, and I will give you all that you need to find house to live in, or you can go anywhere you want. God rewards loyalty and obedience. Jeremiah, although weary at times and fearful at times, because the flesh is difficult to keep under control when fear and worries come, He was absolutely obedient to God. Every time God said, go and speak, he went and spoke, got himself thrown in prison, tempted, murdered several times. But God has taken care of him. And said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.